I have it.
That boy like Madea. Let go, Madea.
Tonga by Lord. Blocked by Armstead. Two into the end zone. Caught for the touchdown! Caught for the touchdown! Waddle! Miami has taken the lead!
Welcome to your absolute favorite Miami Dolphins podcast, Day One Dolphins. It is now your three favorite degenerates back with another Day One Dolphins podcast, once again hosted by your boy Ouch. Follow me on Twitter at YFinsYY. Here with me, per usual, my fellow lifelong Miami Dolphins fan, Chief Sutt. Please throw him a follow on Twitter at Chief Sutt. Also here with me as a newly added consistent contributor, Mr. Zach Ware. Follow him on Twitter at ZWare1. Make sure you follow our podcast Twitter at Day One Dolphins. Stay up to date. And you can follow us on Instagram, Day One Dolphins. Let's get down to it. What's going on, boys?
Off season day one. Exciting times.
Great intro.
That was good.
I like the fresh twist. That was first run. That was solid, bro. Good job.
I like that he can get my handle and I can't get my own handle. That's always fun.
I did have to look it up.
I always get wrong. I don't know what it is.
I get them all wrong every single
it's
time.
So bad.
I'm terrible at the intros.
You are bad at them for sure.
We have strengths, we have weaknesses.
I listened to the ones where I couldn't be there. And I was like, oh god, what is he doing?
These guys are like commenting on some random dude in Zimbabwe, like, your fucking podcast was trash.
I'm sitting there talking about Nick Chubb over and over again.
Yeah, calling Bradley Chubb Nick Chubb. He's been on our team for 6 months. He's one of the best players on the team.
They both have bad knees. Who cares?
Yeah, they're both raw.
Yeah,
but I'm super glad that you're willing to contribute a little bit more, Zach. We love having you on here, man. So
thanks, fellas. Appreciate it. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, you've been dropping some bars in the group chat.
How about one for one in free agency quarterback, fellas? Russ to Pitt. I think I called that. If I called my shot on that one,
can we all agree that if we had to call one more, it would be Kirk Cousins to the Falcons?
I didn't have that one. I
had Justin Fields there, man. It just makes
too.
So much sense.
I had Quirky Kirk coming to New England. Really?
Okay, but who's more Atlanta? If I want to think about what the Falcons mean to me and the Michael Vick era, do I feel Kirk Cousins is more to that vibe or Justin Fields?
Justin's from Atlanta. Kirk's from actually Barrington, Illinois.
Oh, who lied to me?
Somebody
he looks
lied
like
to
a
you.
Brother from Barrington.
Well,
dog.
Like, so,
I don't even know where that is.
So here's my.
Wait, is his wife from there?
Maybe. I don't know.
I think
that's
maybe what it is.
He's right outside. He's right outside Chicago. Honestly, why not, you know, him go to Chicago, you know? But I will say this. Raheem Morris, what he went through with Josh Freeman when he was the head coach of the Bucs, must have scared him off to any quarterback that is, you know, it has to be white from here on out.
I don't know what. Yeah. I think he's going to try to run more of like, I don't know. I feel like these past few waves of like, coaches and free agency signings that the Atlanta Falcons have been going through, they just like it's been running quarterbacks for a while, like mobile guys, and you know, I feel like they're finally going to move in a direction where now they got Bijan Robinson, where they just like hand it off and have someone that can just operate as a quarterback, you know, and not turn the ball over and play a clean game. And I feel like Kirk's the guy for that.
I agree. He's gonna support Drake London and Kyle Pitts, hopefully, to some 1,000-yard seasons, some big games that we've barely seen flashes of. And to your point, Mr. Ouch, Julie Cousins is from Alpharetta, Georgia.
Nice.
Okay.
So. Nice, Ouch.
Okay, I like being right.
And we love this house is a big Kirk Cousins family now after the quarterback. We're huge Kirk Cousins people. He is a good man. A good man.
Kirk Cousins, dog. That's the homie. And Julie Cousins is a treasure.
Oh, that's a find. That is a find.
Yeah.
It makes sense that she's from there. Now everything's starting to add up.
Now, okay. Yeah. Okay. Good call.
They're going home.
That's the inside access. All the way from the West Coast knowing about the Dirty South. Good shit.
Julie Cousins.
How does he know that? He's like, do you know where she's from? No. We know where
Playboy is. Just cut David Bakhtiari.
Yeah, he's going to New York, and he'll play four games behind Rodgers. what other league stuff? What other quick league stuff, man? What excites you?
You called the, like you said, one for one on Russ going to the Steelers. I love that, to be honest.
I like it, too.
I love thinking of old school Russ with George Pickens running down the side, you know, just like extend the play and just throw it up and let Pickens come down with it. Like, he's coming down with it.
He still throws a good go ball, man. Like, that thing was – when he played us, I know that game was a disaster for them. But, like, the early touchdowns they had, that go ball, I want to say he had to Mims. Didn't he have a deep shot in that game in week four, week three, whenever we beat them? And he still throws that thing beautifully.
Yeah.
Pickens is a stud if he keeps his head on straight. And he's going to beat out Pickett. Give me a break. Kenny Two Gloves.
Excuse me, dude.
He's done for. What?
Come on, man.
His house is not pro-Coney Pickett.
No.
Mitch Trubisky gets a couple games in over you. Like
Mason Rudolph? You got like basically benched for Rudolph.
Yeah.
You want to talk about a major free agency splash? Your boy Mitchell Trubisky, he's in the division now.
Oh, he's back. He's back in Buffalo.
He's bounced back and forth. I know.
Yeah, but he's really not a bad backup to have.
He's like if Jay Cutler and Ryan Tannehill had a child who was held back a year in school.
Yeah. Like he's like
heavily on the spectrum.
Like he's the Shane Gillis spectrum, as we call it. So
that's very PC.
Shane Gillis is definitely related.
Sub note. I know we're time crunch, but Quentin Tarantino casting Shane Gillis in his new movie as the lead. If you're a movie buff,
Really?
The new Tarantino movie is called The Movie Critic. I was reading this. Oscars were on last night. But
no way.
And Dude, think about that come up for him, dude. If he's going to go that, like, golly.
He's going to have to act.
Well,
I mean, Tarantino can make it a little silly.
If he's playing a movie critic and with his sense of humor, you got to think like there's probably an essence of it. It will probably be more natural than an out of character role for him. But
Tarantino will make it.
I'm here for it. I'm here for it. That's all I'll say. So
I thought Tarantino said that his last movie was Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
I thought the next one is supposed to be his last one, which makes it extra interesting if Shane Gillis is the lead in his final movie.
Out here, I used to go eat Thai food all the time at Toy Thai on Sunset, and that's where he wrote Pulp Fiction. I sat in the same booth where he sat every day and wrote it.
That's fucking cool.
Jeez.
That's pretty cool.
And that's where you wrote out all of the biggest needs for this upcoming offseason, right?
Yep.
That's I was next to Christopher Nolan at Birds Hollywood.
Oh. Wow.
No way.
Wow.
Did you help him with the score?
I was like, you know what? Excuse me, Chris. Oppenheimer, little long, you know?
Yeah, I rocked with it.
It's a good movie, though. I'm glad it cleaned up.
I preferred Killers of the Flower Moon. I think that was a better film overall.
Really? Yeah. That one didn't get me. It was probably one of my least favorite Scorsese's, but... You know.
Oh, you didn't like the evil white men taking over and taking advantage of all the Native Americans?
I didn't watch it.
You mean them telling our true story? No, I didn't like that. So, what are you trying to hint at, man? Can we talk about Ladd McConkey next?
And I like this other McCaffrey they got coming out of here, huh?
Yeah.
And we got white corners this draft. What the hell is going on, man?
Is Ricky Pearsall from Florida white, the receiver? I couldn't tell. Or is he half and half?
I would like to claim him as one of us, as a light skin, but
we need another receiver for the squad.
I think he's a white, dude.
All right. Well, I like it. 4-4-1 white. These guys are getting faster. There's something in the water.
No, dude, you guys are playing corner now. That's what
I'm
saying.
I know.
You guys.
You can tell who's who on the call.
Jesus. Well, that brings us to our biggest need. My biggest need is that I wish I was one of those white guys who could run a sub 440.
Yeah, me too. Well, if I was, you guys would have some really good inside info for the pod, boy.
Jeez. That would be funny.
Oh, man. We talk about our biggest needs here. I think we all put together a list, and I know that they're all mentioned on there, but in order, what do you got, Sut? Well, would you give me your top three in order of what you think we need to address?
I'm going to broad stroke the first one because everybody's doing that. I just put O-line. We need a center and two guards, in my opinion. And if you want to move Austin Jackson back to guard, I guess, and bring in a tackle, or you draft somebody that fits better at tackle than guard and you want to move around, I trust our offensive staff to do that, which Barry is a G, but he needs bodies. So O-line would be one. Inside linebacker would be second. If we grab Patrick Queen, I still think there's room to grab one more guy. But again, I'm just a linebacker guy. I need one. I need two, to be honest. And earlier, I had defensive tackle as third because of Christian and the Raekwon situation. But after our pre-show, I'm thinking outside linebacker is our third biggest need, with Chubb and Phillips not going to be able to return till probably midseason at best. We were slapping guys in off the street for the playoff games.
Melvin Ingram, bro.
Justin Houston.
Yeah, so bless his heart, really. He did what he could.
I mean, he was out there the whole game. Yeah.
He played 100% of the snaps. He was in pass coverage against Dawson Knox or whoever hell was out there in the Bills game. It was awful.
It's not what we signed up for, but this is the type of roster where we should have 2 to 3 developing linebackers for those kind of situations. And I think instead we had Channing Tindall, who never got to play any inside, outside, any type of linebacker. We had DBs that we drafted high that didn't get any playing time. So I think we kind of took a step back in the development side of things last year, where we can't afford to do that again, especially with how many holes we have.
Give me on a scale of 1 to 10, where do you fall in expecting Channing Tindall to be able to play NFL caliber football?
10 being he's an actual starter and he's solid.
10 being he's Fred Warner. 1, he's cut.
Honestly, about a 6, maybe even a 7.
Wow.
I haven't seen enough.
7 is 3 away from my favorite linebacker in the league.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, he's got the size. He definitely has the speed. He wants to hit. He likes all the stuff that you want out of a linebacker.
Then why can't he get on the field?
You tell me, brother.
Because he probably because I remember seeing a highlight of him, Roquan Smith literally reaming him out mid-play at Georgia because he couldn't read and react. And we knew this coming in the draft. And you think
– He made a great play the next play.
It's a lot harder to play linebacker. Linebacker is the hardest position on defense besides cornerback. I'm dead ass. Because you have so much going in front of you, so much traffic. Cornerback's hard because of the responsibility you have on a passing down basis, right?
And you're going
to
lose sometimes.
Technically,
look how many good receivers are, and there just aren't that many cornerbacks. Like, honestly, if you got a son who's athletic, make him a cornerback, clearly. But like, when I talk about linebacker, like, it's not always the fastest, the read and react guys. Don't get me wrong, a Fred Warner, like you said, he's got the full package. But like, there's a reason guys like Zach Thomas were very successful in their days, because they had the eyes and they flowed. I don't think Channing Tindall has the head for it, but I agree with everything you said. He's 6'2.5", 240, he runs like the wind. He's a special teams guy, and we need those. I put him at like a four. I have no faith he's going to break the starting lineup.
Yeah, I was going to go 4 as well. Yeah. I'm thinking the same thing, almost exactly what Zach said. I know exactly the highlight that you're talking about.
You see it. It was like an SEC championship game, too, I think. Yep. It was big.
The next play, he made a huge play where he runs outside and catches him and stops him.
Bryce?
Short.
Was it Bryce? Yeah, it was like young Bryce. Yeah, he got him. Yeah,
and that's just what it is. That was the yin and the yang of this player, and that's probably why you took a chance and drafted him, because you really want him to end up being at his ceiling.
It would be so huge. It would be so huge just to have develop in year 3, 4.
Well,
whatever
if
it
we
is.
Do get if we have David Long, I think David Long is a great person for him to learn under with his skill set. Right? There's that. You could be just a absolute ball like. follower, like go straight to it, thump in between the tackles, be fast enough to go outside, to deal with Josh Allen, to deal with, you know, any of these like mobile quarterbacks we see all over the league. That would be great. Doesn't really help the situation for the need that we're, that Sut brought up, you know, like we still need a guy who's, who's going to be the head and shoulders of the defense. You know, we don't, we're getting rid of Jerome Baker. We don't have that anymore. That isn't quite David Long. That isn't quite, you know, some of our favorite mentioned linebackers that we might be signing here. We'll get to that, but none of them really are that guy. And it certainly doesn't seem like it's Channing Tindall.
I got a need that we haven't really talked about. I think Sut hit check.
Edge, what's your top three?
My top three is interior O-line, interior D-line, linebacker. But I think, you know, depending on how we address them draft, and I think right behind those are definitely edge depth, right? Depth meaning, mm-hmm. you know, who, you know, guys that can at least fulfill, you know, my opinion, 4 to 5 solid weeks without, depending on the starters. I don't think we're waiting mid-season for Phillips. Maybe you're right. Maybe we play it slow. But third wide receiver is a huge need, man. They just showed a graphic like on like what happens when they press. Tyreek is the most pressed wide receiver in the league, but has a really great success rate. But in those elements when him and Waddle are eliminated, we have nobody that can beat press nor get open. And I don't know if that's because Tua doesn't trust our third wide receivers. It's not like we don't have talent there. I think we all agreed Cedric Wilson has talent, but
wow, you're agreeing to that.
Well,
wow.
He did when he came in here, but I think he didn't live.
He saw enough flashes.
But he definitely didn't live up to his contract. You know, both things can be true.
Absolutely, yeah, that's more Chris Greer's fault than anything else. But it was the timing.
I mean, Chase Claypool's such a frustrating person, dude. I want nothing to do with him moving forward. But man, if he doesn't, I remember when he first arrived. Seeing him next to Waddle and Tyreek, I'm like, that is literally like the Predator, you know, next to, you know, Rocket the Raccoon from, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's
like, it's like the size differential. I'm like, Jesus, man, he is huge.
And he's so fast and just sucks and as a human being.
Dropped that easy touchdown in the Ravens game that really could have made a difference going into half. Won't forgive him for that.
He can't get right.
No.
It was worth kicking the tires on him, but we see what it is. But I want to ask about, like, you were muted. I'm sure you were listening to what I was saying, but pre-show we were talking about wide receiver 3. And I feel like it's more of the offense and how it's being run and how we just don't utilize a wide receiver 3 that much. If
Agreed.
You look in the beginning of the season, especially that week 1 game versus the Chargers, right? Everything was more balanced. Everything was like Mike McDaniel had his head on his shoulders. Like nobody had seen any aspects of our offense yet and what it was going to look like. So it was very balanced. You know, we the whole playbook was open. And you watched Braxton Berrios come in at wide receiver 3 and get like game-changing plays. That highlight play by Tua, he like makes 2-3 steps and then just wings it over, you know, outside to Berrios to convert on third down. Like, gotta have it third down. Even I think there was a Patriots. No, it was a Patriots game. Sorry, that was like week 2. Just a couple different plays that you see throughout the year where Cedric Wilson has no choice but to be used because of injury, and you watch him deliver. We watched in the beginning that Cedric Wilson had like end arounds and jet sweeps and, you know, Eric Isakama and any of the few touches that he got, you know, he was being utilized properly. Like his skill set was being put on the field in the way that you wanted to see him be used. And then you go to any chunk of the middle of the season, whether we are winning or losing, and we're winning where we just don't really need to get these guys the ball, or we're losing and we're just behind the sticks and it's just target Tyreek, run the ball, target Tyreek. And it's like, how much of this is really a wide receiver personnel issue and how much of it is the fact that we just have so much talent at wide receiver 1 and wide receiver 2 and running back that they just refuse to utilize like this balanced offense?
I think it's, I would say it's equal parts. Like, I think blame can be passed at McDaniel. for getting too locked into his mode of overfeeding Tyreek or narrowing in on the offense in certain play calls. His third and short, we don't need to keep elaborating, but it's a problem when you're first in offense overall and 32nd in, you know, short and distance.
Right.
Yeah. I think
wow.
Kyle Shanahan.
I think personnel is honestly a problem. I think Good Morning Football has gone downhill a lot, but I still watch it every morning.
For real?
I still watch it every morning, and they've had a lot of fill-in. They had Matt Judon last week, who I thought came off a little bit of a hater. When he talked about the Dolphins versus Bills. He's like, oh, the Dolphins are really predictable. But then I step back from it, and I go, you know what? He's actually probably right. Like, even though Tua is 5-0 against, and Judon's never beaten the Dolphins since he's joined. I'm sorry, one time he has. 1 in 6 chances, so eat that, Judon. But he's right in the fact that we are predictable as hell, man. We have no physical element, and we have two exceptionally talented wide receivers that are limited in size and stature. And I think you really need a physical guy. But I will say the Jonnu Smith addition allows us to get to 12 personnel with two tight ends, where he is essentially a big slot, right? And he could fill that need. Maybe that's it. But I still think with Tyreek being a pending free agent next year, and I'll just say everything that he talks about, his podcast does not lead me to believe he will be here past this year.
Agreed. Especially if we got to pay Waddle.
I'm fine with it, but you can't just, go into next year with just Waddle, especially if he's unsigned, get another guy in this draft. I mean, there are some guys that McCaffrey. I really, really, really like in the draft, which I'm sure we'll talk to,
right.
but that's where I'm at with needs. So yeah,
I definitely agree with you on the Jonnu Smith signing. It's like we didn't, there were a couple games where Durham was getting that work too,
And he did awesome, man. Like he arguably was our number three most consistent pass catcher.
He's the best tight end too in the league.
But now he's back to his natural role, and he pass catches. If Julian Hill keeps developing, can do anything serviceable from a pass catching standpoint, that's a bonus. But
now we got some breaking news while we're recording.
Hit him with it.
Ouch's favorite safety, Brandon Jones, has signed a 3-year deal with the Denver Broncos.
Good riddance.
See ya.
Yeah, well, we're talking about a defense that runs a 3-safety look, and right now I believe we have 2 safeties on the whole roster.
Campbell and Javon.
Hey, I rock with them.
They just paid him $20 million.
Stupid money, man.
With a potential of 22.5. Good for him, dude.
Good for
him.
Not a terrible deal. He's not that bad. I know he hurt all of our players, but when he was the blitz guy, he excelled and was one of the best pass rushing defensive backs in the league. And then we asked him to do all this weird stuff last year that he clearly wasn't comfortable doing, but was forced to play, I guess, at a moderate level.
I mean, that's an absurd signing. The money they paid for him, in my opinion. Like
money's made up right now, dude.
Yeah, but we all know that he's very good at what he's good at, and he is an absolute liability at what he's not good at. So it seems so scheme specific.
And now he doesn't have Justin Simmons out there to help him out. So they basically got rid of Justin Simmons for whatever he was gonna be, I think 12 to 14 million, and then brought in half the well-rounded player for $4 million less. That's the same franchise that traded for Russ Wilson. Come on now. Yeah. Hard pass.
Traded the house.
George Patton is the worst GM in football. You can mark my words.
Bring me my fifth-round compensatory pick for Brandon Jones. Thank you very
much.
No.
Or 6.
No.
I'll take anything. I'll go get a punter with that.
That's the fifth rounder that I needed for Kyle Pitts, baby.
Oh, God. No. Seriously. All right.
Personnel, baby. Let's get it.
Realistic. All right. So we've talked about the needs, right?
Yeah.
Wait, I didn't do mine.
Oh, no, do your.
Yeah,
well,
I was going to ask. What are you?
Yeah,
what
no,
are
Kyle. Kyle
needs?
Pitts cannot be included, though.
Tight end is not on there, anymore.
You can put tight end up there, dog. Why not?
You know, we watched what the Falcons did with Jonnu Smith and Kyle Pitts, but I have obviously inner offensive line, and I had linebacker second, and I had safety third.
Love it.
pass rush I could interchange with, you know, like an outside linebacker pass rusher with safety. It's somewhere up there because Sutt covered it.
Can't leave.
Yeah. All right. Well, assuming he does even or doesn't, it's still because of the injuries and because they're not going to be starting the beginning of the season. Maybe the Achilles injury doesn't hold, you know, one of the guys for half the season, but I think the ACL for Chubb is definitely going to hold him out longer.
I agree.
He's older too, and it's not his first time. I don't even know if that's the same knee or not, but either way, you're going to need at least somebody to kind of hold you over with or without Van Ginkel out there. And judging on how often the injuries occurred, I mean, God forbid Van Ginkel gets hurt. But let's just call it safety since you guys already covered that. We can move on to our wants. Like if we were to fill these needs with the players of our utmost desire here, we start, every one of us mentioned offensive line, right? And that's obviously like the biggest need. We only mentioned top three. Who do you have in mind as, you know, in a perfect world, Zach, that you could bring to the Dolphins to shore up that offensive line need?
Okay. So we have three needs. It's safe to say, right? Right.
Yeah.
Both guards and center. Ideal situation, I would re-sign Connor Williams. I would draft a left guard, right guard, whatever side. And then I would re-sign a low to mid-level free agent. So one in the draft, two in free agency.
That's how I like that.
That's how I look at it. You know?
Being Connor Williams is already on our team.
Yeah, but he's a free agent, and you're probably going to have to sign him, what, between $7 to $10 million a year is what I'm – it just what it looks like things are – I know things are trending, but that's half of what Robert Hunt's probably going to get, and Connor was our best O-lineman, save snap issues.
And he can play guard.
And then
– I don't want him at guard. He'll jump off sides again. His habit.
I'd like to add in that Michael Dieter was a starting center for the Houston Texans last year for a large chunk of the season.
Yeah. Well, I did my whole scouting on the – there are a ton of good interior O-linemen in the draft. So if you don't reach for one, you know, or you don't want to pay max money, the other center I like is the guy from Tennessee, Aaron Brewer. He's young guy. He's 26 years old. He's smaller, but he's kind of like built in that zone scheme, Kelsey type of fit. So I think, you know, as long as you get one proven starter in free agency, I'm fine, you know, bringing back an Isaiah Wynn and drafting a high-level guy. You guys know I love Jackson Powers Johnson from Oregon. Sutt, I'd love to have a Creed Humphrey type for the next 10 years. That would be awesome. But you've got to address it in free agency. You got to address it in the draft. That's my interior line.
I'm not even going to get my hopes up on Big Jackson. Every single time I start to get my hopes up on one of these linemen and pound the table all offseason, either somebody else takes them or we just let them go and we draft a corner.
Linderbaum, so, Creed, Trey Smith, the list goes on.
I was horny enough to trade up for Quentin Nelson.
Oh, breaking news.
Talk to me.
We got
Christian Wilkins.
What's up?
Las Vegas Raiders, 4 years, $110 million.
Did I... Please tell me I called that before. Did I not call that before the show?
Ow, the boys are on point.
Him and Max Crosby. So $110
million. $84.75 mil guaranteed.
What is the year?
Go Christian.
What's the AAV on that? You said 110 for 4 years?
Yep.
84, basically 85 mil guaranteed.
Yeah, I'm not doing that, guys. I'm sorry. Couldn't have done it.
That is so much bread. Good for you, Christian.
Man, don't gamble it all. I kind of like doing this when it's breaking. That's fun.
Yeah, right.
You're like, oh, shit. See? You can pivot. But I,
and as much as it hurts seeing him go, like,
but
my
you
boy
just
got
you
paid.
Just got yourself a third round pick. So congratulations, Miami Dolphins, Chris Greer.
Podcast started, we have gotten a third round and a fifth round pick.
If you're smart, you will move up to get picks this year. You cannot, with your cap situation, only leave the draft with two starting level players. God knows you got to hit on those picks too. You got to get three or four in the draft.
They got to start. The first two picks, like the first rounder and the second rounder, are going to have to start day one. And we should just accept that now, whatever position they are and whoever they are. And with the way the draft board might fall, we could end up going best player available. We could end up with a pass rusher out there. I wouldn't be shocked to see us take an inside linebacker right there if there was somebody that's just that studly for Greer. I almost feel like we're going to trade it back. We need O-line, and I feel like it's such a deep draft with O-line that if, you know, JPJ or whatever gets picked a couple picks before us, trade that thing back a couple, go get my Hawaiian out of Washington, and let's go bully some people.
Oh, don't get me. I mean, yeah. I love Fatanu.
Bring more Hawaiians.
You're talking about Troy Fatanu? Yeah.
Bring me all the Samoans.
Yeah. I like,
they could all play ukulele and chill with Tua. They could all wear the little Sunday fits, hang out with Gallo.
Depending on how we approach the offensive line, I really like, there's a couple of guys that I feel like that we could afford. You know, like George Fant sticks out to me, for one, depending on what you want to do.
Well, where are you playing him? Are you playing him as like a third swing tackle?
Yeah, I was thinking either a third swing tackle or, I mean, it depends on what you intend to do with, well, God forbid, you know, Teron Armstead. I mean,
well,
you know, you don't expect to get 17 out of him. So
I would rather bring back Lamb if that's.
Yeah. I like Lamb.
I really liked what we saw from Keon Smith when he got his opportunities. I mean, and you've kept him around, so.
Shout out to Butch.
What about our boy Lester Cotton?
You know, I need Big Les.
He's coming back, whether we like him or not.
Big Les. Lester the Molester.
I stop myself from saying that every time.
It's not a great name, just in general. I don't mean no.
Yeah, we can't have that one stick.
I don't know, man.
He doesn't like that. There's a guy. I never talked to him, but I know he doesn't like it.
Wow.
Chasing.
Breaking news.
I know. Jesus.
Leaving the division. Jaguars signing wide receiver Gabe Davis.
Oh, that's to a 3-year deal. Old.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Ian Rappaport drafted 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, you
scared me. All right, so we talked interior O-line. What about, like, okay, so we know Wilkins is gone. let's go back.
Brandon Jones is gone.
Brandon Jones is gone, right?
So safety was our need, interdefensive line, I mean, defensive
there's so,
tackle.
So many good safeties available in free agency. So I think that may, instead of drafting one, a young one, right, to learn a complex three-safety scheme, maybe you go bring in a guy who has familiarity with it. Deshaun Elliott did play for the Ravens. He played for us last year. Geno Stone led the league in picks. He's available.
Can we talk about the guy from the 772 real quick?
Hit him.
Go. Justin Simmons, baby. Bring Justin Simmons home right now.
I want either Justin Simmons or bring me Reed from Kansas City. Those are the two that I'm looking for.
Oh, I love that one. Justin Reed.
And the idea that we're going to run a heavy three safety look, that fires me up. But that's a different type of personnel than what we currently have. And with Brandon Jones leaving, that's another hole.
I didn't like Brandon Jones to be one of the three in that look at all.
Yeah,
so
I get
I'm
that. I'm kind of
glad that that's how it worked out.
Well, I think that's a position that we take one of these vets and also draft a guy. And my guy obviously is from the University of Miami. He goes by the name Cameron Kitchens. Touch money on Instagram. Go get him, dog.
There we go.
God, I would be so fired up. Him and Javon with anybody is going to work. But if you have Javon with Justin Simmons, bro, whatever you guys want to do, we're ready.
Javon,
we'll give you a two safety look.
I'm thinking we either get, I mean, Justin Simmons is going to be expensive. I could see us getting Justin Reed. And then obviously there's been the rumor that we're getting Cameron Curl. Either way,
I love Cam Curl.
With two out of those three out there, you know, you could go cheap on the third safety, and I feel like they'd still be more of an asset in coverage in a zone look than Brandon Jones was. You know, you could bring Darnell Savage out there, and it would, you know, like, it,
well, Darnell Savage using. Taking Savage, all right. Yeah, he might be better against the pass, but he's not going to be much better against the run.
I mean,
Brandon Jones was pretty good at that.
He was, but you're just trading one strength for one strength and one weakness for one weakness. So it's to me.
So bring me Big Justin, and then what was the other safety you were talking about earlier?
Jeremy Chinn.
Curl.
Chinn.
Oh.
From Carolina?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's young. Cheaper. Definitely cheaper. But then, you know, for that same look, they were talking on NFL Network today about Rayshon Jenkins being coming to Miami from the Jacks.
He's not a bad.
That'd be fire as well. And I believe he plays corner and safety.
He's not a bad player. I mean, all those guys, a vet, trusted vet, not a bad option.
So, and if we're talking free agency, I think another position that's loaded, loaded, loaded with talent is linebacker. And if we want a guy that can call the plays for us, get everybody set, get everybody right, learn the defense, Levante David should already be in South Beach.
I was going to say, we all
just
agree
chilling,
that
take him out to eat.
Yeah,
get him to a Heat game, and then we'll bring him to the Rock.
Yeah,
that should be our number one. That should be on the big board. Levante David, Eric Kendricks, Jordan Hicks, Denzel Perryman. I would put Aziz in there, but I think he's gonna demand some money and stay in their division.
I like Aziz,
but I like him too.
I like him a lot.
And don't sleep on Neville Hewitt
too.
Now,
I
like Jordan Brooks. I like Aziz. Bobby Wagner had 183 tackles last year.
What a bounce back year for
186
years old.
Yeah, but still, man. I mean, if you're going
awesome.
If you're going the stopgap route, and then you're going to draft a linebacker in the mid rounds to develop, that's him or Levante on a 2-year deal. You know, saying
Bobby
hey guys,
Jalen Ramsey.
Hey guys, we just competed for a division title. You know, we'd love for you to come here and help us get over the hump. You know, would you like to do it? Not a hard cut. Both of them have won rings. Now it's just a legacy thing for them. So
did it Wagner win in LA with Ramsey?
No, Wagner. No, he came the year after. He won with Seattle. Him and KJ Wright and the Legion of Boom. They were dirty.
They were so stacked. Yeah. And Seattle's always kept some top-notch linebackers. But that's a plug-and-play kind of guy.
Yeah,
I like. Obviously, we all agree that Levante is like number one. But number two, we have the debate over Bobby Wagner. I mean, I like Jordan Hicks a lot, but I think because it's Anthony Weaver, defensive coordinator, we could look to the Baltimore Ravens. Patrick Queen could be coming to Miami.
He did have a good year. Just worry about
– love him.
Is he the guy that, you know, is he the true guy you can give the play call and responsibility to?
Definitely understand being weary of that for sure. And you have two similar guys in David Long and Patrick Queen where they're – just going to take your hat off, but you worry about them as the decision maker out there.
Yeah. Agreed.
I don't worry too much.
I mean, Bobby Wagner, he's good at both. You know, he's a little bit hybrid at both. He looked better this past year than he did his last year in Seattle, where he looked like he was kind of shying away from contact. And
yeah, he looked like he was rejuvenated.
Yeah, definitely.
But wide receivers pretty scarce free agency wise. Like, we're not paying for a top tier guy clearly but you know, guys like Curtis Samuel, who I've always liked ever since Ohio State, never can stay healthy, right? So you know what you're getting with him. Josh Reynolds from Detroit, he's always not a bad slot guy. He gets good.
Hate that.
Yeah, I would bring back Mac Hollins. I think we're all fans of Mac Hollins.
Wait a minute, I got a name for you.
Go ahead.
What if we considered bringing back River Craycraft?
Oh yeah, but he's not a number three.
Oh, of course.
But he's not a three.
He's a depth guy. Honestly, I don't think we're gonna pay for our wide receiver three. I think we're gonna draft our wide receiver three. I think we're in a financial situation where we've paid the receiver room plenty of money.
Well,
let's go ahead and start drafting some guys and developing
with
them.
Your 55th overall pick in this year's draft, if you stay, may I present to you Mr. Xavier Leggett from South Carolina.
Ooh.
Debo Samuel Jr. 2.0, but bigger.
He's big.
Yep, we could call that in. Or, you know, we go get my boy Ladd McConkey and say, what up, though? There's only one. Hey, I've seen some mocks with us drafting a wide receiver in round one, which I don't know how I'd feel But there is one guy from LSU, Brian Thomas Jr. I know Malik Nabers. But did you see what he threw out of the combine? He's 6'3". Listen to this, 6'3", 209 pounds. Reminds me of Martavius Bryant, if you remember him. Ran a 4.33, a 1.5 second 10-yard split, which is tops, 38.5 vertical, and a 10.6 broad. At 6'3".
That's a Cedric Wilson upgrade.
That's literally the size of Eazy-E with actual speed. So again, my point being back to our offense, like I want a receiver who is physical or has size. If we're going to throw those goddamn fade balls, which we still seem to do, throw it to a guy with some actual size who goes up and grabs it. You know?
Crazy. I don't hate that.
I'm not drafting a wide receiver in the first. I'm sorry.
I was going to ask. All that O-line talent, D-line talent.
Fatanu's my number one, Sut. You and I are lockstep on that, and I think he's right in that. We're picking 21 overall. If he's gone, Jackson Powers Johnson's gone.
I'll just say JPJ.
I'm trading back.
Those are my two
sit and stay players. If any of the top, there's a couple linemen. The guy Fuaga from Oregon State, who's almost too good to pass up. Like one of those guys drops. But I don't see any other pick. Linebacker? Edgerrin Cooper is the top linebacker in the draft, but he's not a first-round guy, you know.
Cam Kitchens.
Maybe, but he ran pretty slow, dude. Like,
I know. Like he's not. He didn't have the best combine.
But he also has really good tape. So I don't know. There's options.
He has crazy instincts.
But I don't think at 21 – I don't think at 21 we're in the position where, unless those two linemen I stated are available, I think you run in with those picks. I think you trade back, man. If you can acquire a third or fourth round pick and then pick in the beginning of the second round, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. That's actually what I hope for. That's my expectation.
I could agree with that for sure, but I have a feeling that these quarterbacks are going to go off the board like consecutively in five picks. If not very close to it, which so could leave some room.
Yeah, and then the receivers, right? You got Rome and Malik and Marvin are going to go.
Yeah, I think this is a good draft.
I agree.
You'll have a lot of action in that early, those top 15 picks. People will be trading up, trading back, and that'll leave room for a team to trade back twice.
Yeah.
If they traded back out of, maybe the 8th spot to the 15th spot, now you call us, you can trade back again to the 21st spot.
Not a bad option.
Just keep bulking up. We did it a couple of years ago with that whole Philly trade thing where we traded the 3 and then got the 6 and then did this and did that and Trey Lance and whatever it was. That was like a whirlwind and it all happened in like 2 hours.
Yeah.
So I don't put nothing past career.
Could ever have made.
And where are they right now? They just won another NFC championship. Like they literally keep that train rolling because build in the trenches first.
Well, yep. For us and our perspective on football and its success, that's an amazing accomplishment. But if you're good friends with a Niners fan or multiple Niners fans like I am, they are sick to their stomach and think it's the worst thing in the world. They think that they're cursed. They've been to 3 Super Bowls in the last decade, and they lost all 3. You know, they're not happy. They want the coach gone. They want a lot of things changed.
Oh, please get rid of Kyle Shanahan. I would love for him to get a job as the highest paid offensive coordinator in the sport.
Steven Ross, dish it out, baby.
Right? My God. Yeah, you know what? He's not doing a really good job out there. I think you guys should get rid of him. Just start that narrative.
And then we could go lose the Super Bowl, and it'd be the happiest day of my life.
You know what I mean? But,
Wide receiver, I think you're right. We should definitely address through the draft. I mean, we don't. Hopefully, Eric Isakama comes through and turns into something, but there's really nothing. There's not that guy left. Mike Evans re-signed. T. Higgins, but that's going to be – you're going to have to trade, you know? He's been tagged. You're going to have to trade and pay him.
Nope. Not when we got to pay Waddle.
I don't want Odell Beckham for the price tag at all. It's like you said, pretty scarce.
Now, I know we haven't talked about it, but is running back something that you guys would spin the tire on for the right price? Because there is,
Derrick Henry. That's it.
There is that guy.
That's it. I mean, he's pretty much the physical guy. Actually, you know what? You're going to hate this. Zach Moss.
No, I like that too. And I think, Zach Moss delivered through an amazing offensive line. But I love the fact that you have a stud running back in Jonathan Taylor, and he just goes out, and Zach Moss just plugs in and delivers
from
monster games. Monster Santana, after monster.
Santana's cousin. You know, he's a local. So the Bills.
Wait, is that true?
No, like dead ass. Like, so remember the Bills game? Not the one that Sutton and I went to when we got blown out. The following year, I went.
We don't talk about that.
The one that where we won in the heat stroke. That one 2 years ago. Remember that one?
Ouch. Yeah.
My wife and I went, and she's a Bills fan. We
Thank
literally
sat.
I know. We sat next to these folks, and it didn't click to me because I was almost blackout. This guy's wearing a Utah number two jersey. And he's hooded, you know, hood as hell, South Florida as hell, as we call it, right? And nicest guys in the world. We're chugging, and they love Ashley there. We're having a time and all this. And I go, yo, like, who are you guys here for? Like, I know you're rooting for the Dolphins. They're like, oh, we're Miami until we die, but, like, that's my cousin. That's Zach Moss. And they were, at the time, he was still on the Bills. So he was literally behind Singletary, and they were like, yeah, this coach doesn't know how to use him, all this stuff. And then he got traded. Nicest people. So, yeah, bring Zach Moss home. Why not?
For a cheap deal, I mean, I just want somebody who's going to deliver behind a bad offensive line at the least. Like, that's
the
that's,
king.
You know, is king. That the king, though? Is it?
Yeah.
Is that what he does? Because I'm pretty sure he had a solid offensive line for his entire career over there. I'm not saying
decent offensive line.
Decent's a good
above
word.
Average.
Decent's a good word.
They're nothing stellar.
They just more had a fit.
Luan was style.
They just have
like,
a commitment.
He hasn't been there in a minute.
They just have a commitment to the run there in Tennessee.
Yeah, that's
Vrabel. True. Vrabel's a physical guy, right? Jesus, he's a physical guy.
But to me, Saquon is the guy that like you watch. Their offensive line is awful.
Well, of course,
yeah,
awful.
But he's getting
if
he's
money.
Delivering.
If money didn't, matter.
Yeah,
I would say bring in T. Higgins and Saquon.
Yeah,
well, but
if this was baseball,
money does exist.
What do you think the difference in money is going to be? The projection, if you look at like PFF and you look at Spotrac,
Philly's
gonna almost exactly the same price tag for Saquon and Derrick Henry.
I think Henry is going to take an extremely team-friendly deal wherever he goes because he's said he wants a ring now. He's got the accolades. He's got whatever. He's got the yardage. He wants to win.
I'm just going to
so he's not going to take money the way Saquon's going to take money because Saquon's made it clear he wants to get paid.
Saquon's going to Philly or L.A. Chargers. Those are the two teams he's going to end up with is where I see it.
I still like Houston.
Oh, I do like Houston. I just don't want him in our conference. But even though L.A.'s out there, I just, you know, that's – I running back is not on my list – my major list of needs. If anything,
right.
I want Achan to get more run. I think Mostert's earned every bit to at least go into next year as the top guy. You know, we bring in a Henry. He's not the top guy anymore. We bring in any of those names we've mentioned. A Zach Moss, I think, fits into the room decently.
Wilson with Zach Moss kind of thing.
Yep. Just somebody, just a little bit physical element. Maybe Chris Brooks steps up. I don't know. I really like what I saw from him, but – I did like Brooks. I don't know, but like I think Raheem deserves it. I mean, he was really good last year, guys. I mean, he's still
highlight reel good.
And I still think he missed out. Like he had 18 touchdowns. I still think he probably could have had 24 had we done the right thing in short and distance. Back to
not to mention he like tapped out and gave Achan a couple.
Yeah.
He gave Jeff Wilson a couple at the goal line. You know,
but
a lot of them didn't play through. A couple of fourth quarters.
Yeah, a lot of them didn't play due to injuries.
That too.
But that's where I
Chris
say.
Brooks is a good point. He did have the physicality that we wanted, and we drafted him. And like you have to utilize your good draft picks. You know,
the ones that hit ones that do hit.
Well, he was UDFA, but because we had so little picks, he was essentially a pick for us.
Yeah.
But
right.
Yeah. But he did show us some stuff. So I agree.
So we're pretty set on our free agency wants. We've kind of gone over our draft wants for the most part too. I mean, ouch. Do you have like a top three or even a top just two where if they hit on those on your first and second pick, you're happy, no complaints. You're not freaking out like when we drafted Liam.
I'm with you on the same for the offensive line.
Okay.
Bring me the Samoan dude or bring me JPJ.
Yep.
If not, trade back. As far as late round snags, I if you just want to, like, you know, grab like somebody who could turn into being like an all-star next year, or, you know, maybe they just show out, bring me Frank Gore's son and bring me McCaffrey's little brother.
Love those.
Let them late picks or whatever, you know, maybe even a little earlier than you would. Just
McCaffrey,
based off of like
– McCaffrey fits into that slot role. He gets like 60 to 70 catches a year.
Absolutely.
You know, I love that. I will say this. Now we know Christian's gone. I don't think free agency has a lot of options for us that probably provide maybe Eric Armstead. We talked about that a little earlier. Now that he's been cut.
Linebacker.
I still think nose tackle is the major need for this defense, the Baltimore defense. We don't have that nose guy.
Yeah, we need a traditional big, like, up two blocks.
There's only two guys in the draft that Devondre Sweat.
Devondre Sweat.
Six 6 foot four, 366 pounds.
Yes.
But he carries it well, but like I was looking at his like his numbers, right? Just to be like, you know, how is he comparable to Jordan Davis? Remember the UGA guy that got drafted round one? Jordan Davis ran a 4.78 40 at 360 pounds.
Yes, wow. He did.
That's insane. This guy ran a 5.27, but Jordan Davis was a first round pick. Devondre Sweat's probably a mid second to third round. McKinley Jackson from Texas A&M, he's another nose tackle.
Yep.
But there's a lot of guys that can replace in some light what Wilkins brought. I really like the kid from FSU, Fiske, who blew up the combine. Then you'd have two white D tackles, both, you know, country strong between him and Sealer. Byron Murphy from Texas is really good. Chris Jenkins' son, if you remember Chris Jenkins, the old Carolina Panther.
Of course.
His son's really good. There's a Nigerian kid, Rook Ororororo, literally how you say his name.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, Nigerian. You know, we love Nigerians here. And, yeah, I think we can replace a D-tackle in the second round if we don't go the linebacker route. I think what you guys are saying is get a vet linebacker, find interior O-line, right? And then are you drafting an interior D-line to replace Christian, or are you bringing in a vet?
I like DJ Reader being available for sure. Everyone that is worth it is around Christian's age, but you can get for a little bit cheaper. You want to go bigger, heavier, you know, somebody who can really eat up blocks like that, I would go DJ Reader. You want somebody a little bit more comparable to Christian, but not, I mean, it's hard. Nobody's going to beat him in the locker room. That was one of my favorite parts about him. But
I agree.
You have Leonard Williams is also available.
Oh, really?
Not bad.
I mean, always more of a name. Always more of a name than what he's done. But yes, not bad.
Yeah, they're just half the price of what Christian Wilkins is going to be. So
yes.
You know, if you can get more than half the player for half the price.
Yeah, and we'll see. I think Christian had an amazing year, but I think we all can sit here and go, okay, was that a blip on the radar in terms of a pass rusher? Because he hadn't been that through 3.5 seasons. Or is that really who he is? And no offense, like, okay, good luck in Las Vegas. Good luck. I wish him the best, and I hope he does well. But I'm going to be shocked if he puts up identical numbers to what he just did last year. But
I mean,
Max,
he might because
Max Crosby.
Max Crosby.
I know. You're right.
And
you're right.
If everybody else is firing, then that's when you start seeing him get through.
No, you're right. That's
and we
point.
Know what kind of guy he is, bro. He's a competitor.
Yeah.
Every game doesn't matter if they're losing by 30 or winning. He's
hey,
coming.
Do we play? 110%. Do we play Las Vegas next year?
Ooh, good question.
I think it's going to be the Chargers.
No, Chargers finished last. I think we have Las Vegas.
Wow.
I don't know. I'll check in a second. I'm putting
pickles
on my burger.
Yes, we do. Oh. And we have them at home.
All right. It is time.
Wow. So aside from our division games, we got Jags at home with the Titans. Oh. Arizona.
Low-key fun.
San Fran.
Oh, gosh.
The reunion.
Oh, gosh.
And then the Raiders. And then on the road,
it's
we're playing
tough.
CJ Stroud.
Oh.
Jeez.
Woo.
And then we get Anthony Richardson.
Time for Channing Tindall to play ball.
Dude, you feel me? And then we get Matt Stafford.
Woo.
Then we get Geno Smith and or Drew Locke.
Yeah.
Come on, it's definitely going to be Geno Smith.
Zach's favorite quarterback, Deshaun Watson.
Oh.
And Jordan Buddy Love.
Jordan Buddy Love. That's a fun, like, nobody there, like, there's no Pat, right? You know, God knows we're going to play Josh twice a year, but that's a solid list of all those quarterbacks are capable of putting up good games. So that will be.
They're not the face of like the NFL, and they're all pretty talented and good.
I mean, yeah, it's not the end of the season. It's not facing Dak, Lamar, and Josh to end your season, for Christ's sake. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Well, you never know. CJ Stroud could be the face of.
He's coming. Bro, don't play with Stroud.
Dude, you know, somebody said something, and I laughed at it, but somebody threw up a throw of Marino's throwing motion to CJ Stroud. Deadass. Watch.
Wow.
Watch it. It's the same release point. Like, he throws it very differently than other folks. Like, yeah. I'm not saying it's the same arm. God knows. Nobody has Marino. I'm saying
Jordan
it's the same
Love
motion.
Jordan release is really nice, too.
Jordan Love throws a good ball. I'm not ready to anoint him, you know. You know when they do the 2020 rankings of how would you rank these guys? Yeah. And typically everybody who hates Tua puts him 5, which makes me kind of laugh. But to see Love at 1 over, you know, Tua and the rest of the guys, I'm like, okay. Burrow, Hurts, Herbert, you know.
I kind of like – I think – I don't know. In a way, Jordan Love is most comparable to Tua's game. Like, at least when Tua used to, like, use his legs. Like, he is very accurate in the medium, short, medium range. And then, you know, he's throwing a big, pretty ball when he has the time to. He's a little bit more mobile. But I don't know. I really do like Jordan Love a lot, and I think it's.
I don't dislike him. I don't dislike him. I'm not ready to anoint him at, you know, the savior yet. We'll see. It seems like it fluctuates every year. It was Burrow, you know. Herbert's been, you know, flashy since he started. Then Hurts gets the Super Bowl, then regresses. You know, has a up and down last year. Tua's had 2 back-to-back years where, you know, he finally stayed healthy. But people, oh well, you know, is he just pumped up by these guys? You know,
that's the thing. It doesn't matter. He's never going to be.
Just any rankings you see of a quarterback, make sure you click on the author of the article and then check where they come from and who they work for. Because 10 times out of 10, the one that have him anything with 2 outside of the top 12 is not even worth the read, in my opinion. Yeah. It's not. I will accept him at 12, but you're going to have to give me good convincing of the folks you're putting in that 9 through 11 category ahead of him.
I'm tired of watching Trevor Lawrence's name be ranked, like, anywhere near him, like, just because of your expectations. Yep. Or, like, you might see Mac Jones get, like, who knows what's going to happen. Like, I don't know,
Mac
man.
Jones,
it's just
man.
Crazy. People's, whatever your narrative and your perspective of a player is right before they come into the league tends to be like how it sticks, you know.
Yep.
And it has an effect on what you think of them for the rest of their career. You look at like the way that people look at Kirk Cousins right now still, and he's been one of the better quarterbacks for the last couple of years, like one of the top quarterbacks.
Took RG3's whole career.
Yep.
And just walked right down the road and then just kept getting franchise tagged and then finally just started getting guaranteed contracts over and over again. And they still don't view him as a dude.
And there's so many different quarterbacks that, like, I mean, look at what Brock Purdy just did. Like, I'm not going to say that he's the next Dan Marino or anything, but, like, how many rookie quarterbacks are coming in and not losing a game? I don't care what the roster looks like. And then going to the Super Bowl. Like,
yeah.
Ben Roethlisberger.
I mean, he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
You know, now.
Yeah, Ben Roethlisberger had to beat Matt Hasselbeck, not Pat Mahomes. But I'll just, you know, well, no big deal.
it is what it is. And, you know, I mean, they didn't call a single holding call on Kansas City once. And, you know, Nick Bosa was being held relentlessly. Fred Warner got tackled from behind like 8 times.
See, there we go.
There it is.
Shout out to Colby from the Pro Football Podcast. But he always has this saying where happiness equals expectations minus reality. And if you expect to win money betting against Patrick Mahomes.
I showed you how much money I made betting on the Kansas City Chiefs.
I'm just saying, like, I know the holding calls and all that, but at the end of the day, you were never going to beat that man.
Nope.
You kind of just got to expect it. You just got to know it's coming.
We can pull the game tape and look at it. It's just it's so unfair. It's crazy.
Now, what else is unfair is that we don't have that many picks after, you know, a couple of years ago, we were just loaded up with all these first rounders and second rounders and third rounders.
Well,
so I'm trying not to have high expectations for this draft.
Well, you miss on your, you know, a first rounder, you miss on a high second rounder. Your third rounders have not developed, aka Tindall.
Who's your first round miss, Noah?
Noah's a huge miss. I mean, you literally could have had Jonathan Taylor there. The list of players you could have had there, it goes on. Waddle's been a hit. AJ was a late hit. Still think he needs to consistently continue to ascend, if not hold down what he was showing us last year and just stay healthy. Austin Jackson.
Signed over Hunt.
Yeah. You know,
he's good.
You know, but his deal was really, really solid. I think it's like $8 million a year. Phillips, I agree with you, Sut. When he plays, he's awesome, but it's, you know, availability, you know, is the best ability, and he's kind of been, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Who else am I missing? Those are our last big first rounders, and then we traded for Tyreek. Third rounders haven't hit. Cam Smith did nothing last year. Achan did something, so we'll give him, you know, but needs to stay healthy. So, again, Greer.
He's a hit.
Yeah, but I still don't think you can say we left those abundance of picks with anything better than a B or B plus at this point. I don't think we're in the A category. We haven't won a playoff
game. I'd say B minus.
We haven't won a playoff game. Yeah, okay, cool. You're even harsher than I am. I like it. So
rare
for that, but yes, I mean it.
Give this group, just the three of us, put us in the office with Greer with all those picks. I promise we're hitting on more than what they hit on, just off of what we've been screaming about. And again, loved Cam Smith, didn't love Noah. There is so many players every year that we just want.
I blame Brian Flores for Noah.
Yeah, I agree. I agree there.
That's fair.
Yeah, I agree. But still, you know.
But still, either which way. Personally, I know how bad we need offensive linemen. We've named the offensive linemen that we want. I really hope that coach is listening again and he takes a couple of our notes and keeps building the trenches. Because looking at this offensive line market, Laken Tomlinson's getting big bag. So any lineman that we're going to quote-unquote pay for is going to just make our cap situation even worse. So we have to draft.
Dickerson. You want to talk about big bag? Landon Dickerson.
Yeah, that guy got a big bag.
Landon Dickerson, that's what I meant. Yeah.
But Laken Tomlinson may be a name that we get, bring in on like a low level deal, even though
he has
former San Francisco. But
just because we need the depth.
Real quick, though, backup quarterback.
Stay the same.
Stay the same. I mean, Mike White's.
I mean,
you don't have enough. You don't have enough.
We got these comp picks.
You don't have enough picks to draft a guy that you probably think, you know, can develop. Okay, Skyler's there. I don't know.
That's it. That's all we got. So it's. I mean, you could bring in Ryan Tannehill. You could bring in Gardner Minshew. You can bring in Marcus Mariota.
Like
you could bring me Easton Stick, bro.
Oh,
bring
good
me
one. Yes.
Easton Stick.
I could work with Easton.
Love
Stick.
Love that. Best hockey
or
name there is.
Or Jameis Winston. I'll take Jameis Winston. That's just me.
Me out. If day three, big Phoenix energy falls, bring the boy back to Florida.
Oh,
you got a lefty. You got
then,
a little
okay,
guy.
Well,
all right,
we're gonna have QB controversy. You can find us next episode on QB controversy with Sutton.
Oh my god. Big Phoenix energy.
Oh god.
Phoenix energy.
Wild.
Right. Make sure you follow the podcast at Day One Dolphins. We're on Instagram. We're on Twitter. Make sure you follow our new member, Zach Ware, at One Ware. Wait, what is it?
At Z-Ware One.
Z-Ware One.
It's because of your big Phoenix energy. He's all flustered.
You're just making it harder
big
for me.
Big Phoenix energy. Tampa Bay Tech's finest.
Follow Chief Sut at Chief Sut. Follow me on Twitter at YFinsYY. And we'll be back next week. Sut, hello?
Yeah, I mean, Finn's gonna win.
Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. And when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl, cause we're the Miami Dolphins. We'll be right back.
Miami has a Dolphin, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. And when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl, cause we're the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins number one. Yes, we're the Miami